Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. People have more time to weigh in on the state-proposed Ambler Road project. The Federal Bureau of Land Management announced yesterday that it's extending the public comment period for a draft environmental impact statement for the over 200-mile road from the Dalton Highway west to the Ambler Mining District. The Industrial Access Road project, being shepherded by the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, has been criticized by the vast majority of those who've testified at recent public meetings on the draft EIS. The BLM says extension of the public comment period from 45 to 60 days is to accommodate subsistence hunting season. The new comment deadline is October 29th. The public meeting schedule is not changing, and 10 sessions are upcoming in road corridor area communities, starting tonight in Evansville, which is near where the proposed road would start. Feedback on the draft EIS will be reviewed by the agency as it prepares a final EIS and issues a record of decision. Governor Mike Dunleavy has signed an order aimed at making it easier for state workers to opt out of union membership, saying it's required by a U.S. Supreme Court decision to protect employees' right to free speech. Alaska Public Media reports that the governor appeared at a news conference yesterday in Anchorage with Attorney General Kevin Clarkson, who laid out the administration's philosophy.
This is all about employee choice. The unions that are out there, I've read some public statements where they're saying this is about trying to squelch employee choice, union busting. That's nonsense.
The Supreme Court decision came last year in what's known as the Janus case, which blocks public employers from deducting union fees from employees who don't want to be members. The Dunleavy administration says the Janus decision requires the state to go further. Right now, state workers sign up for union membership directly with the union. But the Dunleavy administration says the decision requires state workers to tell the state directly that they want union dues deducted from their paycheck. Clarkson says the new approach is about making sure the state holds up its obligations under the Supreme Court decision. Jake Metcalf, an attorney who heads one of the state's largest unions, says the Dunleavy administration's interpretation is wrong, countering that it only applies to how non-members of unions are treated, not members.
No other state in the union has this opinion that we know of. They're just using the Janus decision to try to wipe out public services and to take the power away from public servants that provide services that we've had and we've needed in Alaska since statehood.
Metcalf's union is already in a court fight with the state over whether the Dunleavy administration's interpretation of the Supreme Court ruling is legal. It's asking a judge to block the administration from adopting its new policy. Governor Dunleavy has scheduled another press conference for this morning to discuss what he describes as, quote, a number of outstanding issues. According to a release announcing the press availability, those issues include his selection to fill open Senate seat M, the permanent fund dividend, and future special legislative sessions. The press conference is slated for 11:30 a.m. in Anchorage. Meeting last night, the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly voted to spend $650,000 to make safety repairs at the Mary Saya Recreation Center. Supporters of the center came to the Assembly Chambers last night to urge members to spend the money, but as KUAC's Robin reports, there's concern the repairs won't extend the aging facility's life significantly longer.
Several times in the last year, this Assembly moved money away from other priorities into maintenance. Facilities managers estimate the borough has $200 to $300 million worth of repairs waiting in borough and school buildings. Always in the background has been the safety problems at the Mary Saya Recreation Center, which former mayor Carl Castle had proposed closing because repairing it would be too expensive and the money would be better spent on a new aquatic center. But that was tabled because of the expense, and voters rejected maintenance bond issues on last October's municipal ballot. David Bradley, Director of Public Works, told the Assembly that last December a commissioned report identified Priority 1 deficiencies that would cost $1.5 million to fix.
A Priority 1 deficiency is best summarized by a critical life safety item.
Since spring, a design plan has been worked, and more money is needed to finish the emergency upgrades.
We have identified an additional $650,000 is needed to move that project forward.
Repairs will take about 5 months, during which the building and swimming pool will be closed. Bradley says repairs could start as early as next February. Assemblymember Leah Berman-Williams asked how much life the project would add to the facility.
How long do we anticipate right now we can keep the building in a condition that we can allow the public in it?
After the Priority 1 deficiencies are corrected?
That's right.
I would think 3 to 5 years.
That's disheartening to some assembly members like Sean Tackey.
It is definitely a Band-Aid, but I also have the same concerns that $2.1 million lasting 3 to 5 years, it's amortization of, you know, $420,000 to $700,000 a year towards a single building that we're intending to get rid of.
Some commenters said they were also disheartened to spend so much money on a Band-Aid when what the borough needs is a new pool for special users. Mickey Rosser and Cynthia Merkling said they know the borough cannot afford a new facility.
If Mary's Eye, if it's not funded, it'll go away because of safety concerns. And once it's gone, I'm really afraid it will not return.
It means a lot to seniors, and it means a lot to anybody who is disabled. I mean, it's people like me that will be hurt by its closing.
Member Aaron Legiski reminded the Assembly that they have only budgeted $10 million for maintenance this year, and there is 20 to 30 times that in projects waiting for repair dollars.
Whatever we spend on any one project takes away from the others.
Mayor Bryce Ward called it a bridge project to hold things together until another solution can be found.
It is difficult. I wish we didn't have to spend the money on the facility, but in order to keep it open, this is what's prudent for us to do.
The Assembly approved the ordinance. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Early voting is available today and Monday for Tuesday's Fairbanks North Star Borough municipal election. Voters can cast ballots at the borough offices on Terminal Street. Borough Clerk April Trickey says ballots for Borough Assembly and School Board, as well as City of Fairbanks and City of North Pole races, are available.
We have in-person absentee voting at the Borough Building from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock. So if you're not going to be able to make it to your polls on election day, you can always come in. If you want to vote earlier, you can also come in and vote.
Trickey says the clerk's office can also help you find your polling place if you want to cast your ballot on actual election day, Tuesday, October 1st, when polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Organizers of last week's local observance of the global climate strike in Fairbanks are holding another event this afternoon at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Today's event will be held in the plaza between the Greening Building and the Rasmussen Library on the UAF campus. It's part of a worldwide effort to demand action by world leaders to reduce production of climate-changing greenhouse gases. It's mostly being organized by young people, like the West Valley High School students who organized last Friday's event on their campus.
They put in a ton of work and time, and we just had the resources to, like, give them the space to do that work.
Community organizer Sikkenik Maupin says the youth's got some help from the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition and the Northern Alaska Environmental Center. She says the young people here and worldwide are stepping up and raising their voices to urge leaders to get serious about climate change. They're inspired and motivated by 16-year-old Greta Thunberg of Sweden.
Doing this to wake the leaders up. We are doing this to get them to act. We deserve a safe future.
Thunberg spoke last Friday in New York City on the first day of the global climate strike. The week-long events intended to encourage students to walk out of class and anyone else to leave their workplaces or homes and get out and demonstrate for action on climate change.
We are not just some young people skipping school or some adults who are not going to work. We are a wave of change. Together and united, we are unstoppable.
Global Climate Strike is the organization coordinating the worldwide observances. It's planning follow-up campaigns that include convincing Facebook to reject advertising from oil companies and other firms that deal in fossil fuels. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.